Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, James Bostic here, Conservative's Perspective on Patriot Nation Radio Network.
We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Damn right we are. And we're doing it here on Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com, putting the blah, blah, blah in Blog Talk. And, of course, Patriot Nation is heard here live Tuesdays, Thursdays. 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program as well that goes, and I'm really proud of this, it goes out over the Mojo 50 Radio Network. Now, you can hear it there at Mojo 50 Radio. You can also hear it on Talk America Radio Network, and you can also hear it on the Internet Conservative Radio Network as well. So, just like old boy said, we ain't one at a time in it here. We are mass communicating. Oh, golly. So, we listen to the polls.
We ain't one at a time in here. We're mass communicating.
Oddly enough, you have a point, and I think you mentioned that once before. Yes, we are mass communicating. Okay, here's the deal, and we got a lot of things to talk about. Joe Biden. Joe, Russian hands, Roman fingers, Biden. They say, and according to USA Today, which I don't even think, it used to be a newspaper. I'm not exactly sure what it is nowadays. But you know, USA Today says Joe Biden is Joe Biden. Yes, yes, yes. That Joe Biden. The one that told the crippled guy to stand up. That Joe Biden. That Joe Biden that said J-O-B-S is a three-letter word. That Joe Biden. They say that he's leading Donald Trump. They say that he's leading Donald Trump nationally by 13 percentage points. CBS News, which once upon a time was a legitimate news organization, You know, they say that, you know, Joe is coming out on top in the polls among Democrats. Okay, so when it comes down to Trump Biden, Joe's the man. When it comes down to JoJo versus all the other Democrats, JoJo's the man. In Iowa, JoJo is the man. He leads the 2020 Democrats in millennial support. He's beaten Trump in Michigan in the election matchup. He's leading, you know, he's leading him by a landslide in Quinnipiac. Just, you know, I mean, everywhere you go, Biden is, you know, he's here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and he's all out of bubble gum, y'all. So he's doing his thing. And today has been an all day 45 fest, and this is down in Florida, Orlando. And what it is in about an hour from now, the president will be kicking off his 2020 reelection bid at the Amway Center there, and it starts tonight at 8. Tonight at 8, an hour from now. However, people have been in line, camping out, tailgating at the Amway Center since yesterday. Some of these people will have been in line for more than 40 hours. The venue itself, the Amway Center, holds about, depending on how the seats are configured in there, it can go from 20,000 to 30,000. So, you know, we're not exactly sure how they're going to set things up, what configuration they're going to use for the president. I would assume that they would want to get as many folks in there as they can to accommodate as many Donald Trump supporters as possible. However, in addition to however they configure that, and it may be set up for the 30,000 limit, the jumbotrons are being put together outside the arena for those who are going to attend the festivities, but they can't make it inside. There has been live music, food vendors, food booths and trucks, street vendors. Nothing but Make America Great Again festivity prior to this main event. People started lining up Monday morning. They camped out. Tents, sleeping bags, coolers of water. I'm going to tell you, it's been a hot day today in Orlando. I was listening to Breitbart earlier today, and some of the talk hosts at Breitbart, you know, because this is a big deal. So they're down, they're doing their show live from the Amway Center for the president's 2020 reelection kickoff. And you would think that the Stones were in town. Okay? I mean, it's turned into this all-day thing. And here's the thing that I think is awesome, and I guarantee you this. When everything's done, there won't be an empty plastic water bottle on the ground. There won't be a burrito wrapper anywhere. There won't be the remnants of a funnel cake. There won't be half-empty cups of soda pop and soft drinks laying around. There won't be anything on the ground. There won't be poop on the ground. Nobody's going to get raped. Nobody's going to get murdered unless it's the Antifa people trying to attack them. None of that. You're not going to see any of that. I know I'm kind of going out on a limb with that, but I'm pretty serious. I think that's exactly what it's going to be. It's going to be just as neat as when they showed up. You guys have seen the pictures. Go Google Earth Day Rally 2020. Pictures, Earth Day Rally 2020. Look at all the crap these people left behind. And the people are all over the place. I wouldn't even begin to... Looking at the crowds, and I can't estimate this stuff, But I'm going to make an estimate that there will probably be easily. There will be as they can have it set up for 30,000 people. That's the maximum seating capacity at the Amway Center, from what I've read. Let's say they set it up for that. There will easily be maybe as many people outside as there are inside. This thing is probably going to draw anywhere from, I'd say, 45 to 60,000 people. Eric Swalwell did an anti-gun rally across from an NRA office. 19 people. And they looked pretty upset. 19 people. What are we seeing here? You saw those polls. Biden leads here. Biden leads amongst these. In here, he's leading. Over in Iowa, he's leading. He's kicking Trump's butt in Michigan, all these places. Where did we hear this before? That's right. That's absolutely right. And for 2 years, for two solid years, and even, believe it or not, now, if that's possible, we still hear it. And it's this.
Donald Trump's done. He's done. There's no question about that. He's done.
Breaking news.
A bombshell.
Today is a turning point. Today was historically bad for President Trump.
Today was a turning point.
A turning point.
We're at a turning point here.
The beginning of the end for the Trump presidency.
The beginning of the end.
And breaking news.
We have another bombshell.
Mike Pence might have to assume the office of the presidency.
The call for impeachment.
Rumblings of the word impeachment.
Breaking news.
Another bombshell out of the White House.
I believe this is the beginning of the end.
I do too.
It's really the beginning of the end.
The beginning of the end.
He may be feeling the walls closing in on him.
All the walls closing in on him.
The walls closing in on him.
Breaking news, a new bombshell.
One astrologer says this means the beginning of the end for President Donald Trump.
The beginning of the end of the Trump presidency.
Trump will resign.
Trump is going to resign.
Is this the tipping point? I know we've said it over and over.
You think this is a tipping point?
And
over and over and over and over. That's a 3-minute clip, and you guys get the idea. 2.5 years they've been mealy mouthing this crap. What Democrat candidate? What Democrat nominee has the energy, has the dynamism, has the momentum to come out and do what Donald Trump does? Elizabeth Warren? Really? Kamala Harris? Pete, old gay Pete? Probably not. Seriously, who? Who sits... who does this? Excuse me, just a moment. Okay, much better. Who's got it? Nobody. Yes, they say. And I would imagine among Democrats, Joe's probably, you know, he's got a lot of name recognition. He is alleged he certainly doesn't have any gravitas because the guy's an idiot. But he's been around a long time, and apparently that counts for something in Washington, D.C. I don't know what. He and his family have grown rich with dirty deals through China and the Ukraine. And that'll be coming to light. Well, actually, it's already come to light. Pete Schweizer wrote a book months ago called Secret Empires that talks about this. And nobody batted an eyelid. But now that Joe's running for president, it's going to come out. And we're going to see more and more about it. But who's got it? Nobody. None of these people, Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, there's like 20 of these people. They're going to have the first Democratic primary debates in 2 nights because there are too many people up there. And they're all the same. Here's what's going to happen. There's going to be this mass migration to the left. All these people on that stage, somebody's going to say something left-wing, socialist, commie, you know, masturbatory sentences. And it'll be a dash to the left. Everybody, whatever the guy says, whoever it is, I don't know, let's say it's old gay Pete talks about it's okay for guys to go in women's restroom. Well, the next guy's going to say, well, it's not only, I don't only think it's okay. I think that it should be mandatory that all guys, you know, it's going to be just craziness. It's just going to be crazy. And they're all going to try to go further left than whatever the person is making the statement. And there's going to be a lot of ankle biting. It's going to be interesting right now because all these cats are jockeying for position. Is Eric Swalwell? Oh, my God, what an idiot. Is Eric Swalwell? He's polling at like 1%, half of a percent. That's it. And he's talking about taking away guns and talking about banning ammunition. You know, you can't own more than 200 rounds of ammunition and all this ridiculous crap. Eric Swalwell looks like the guy that the teacher would have left in charge when they left the room in the old days. So you can't do that now because it's like against intergalactic law or something. But in the old days, I can remember when the teacher would leave the room, they would pick some apple polishing teacher's pet to write names down of the children who talked while the teacher was out there, and she'd write them down on the board. And the teacher would come back and she'd read the names. Ah, James and Brian and Chris, you guys were talking. Okay. Well, we might not have been talking. You know, it might have been this little weasel had an axe to grind and decided to do, because they had power in that one moment and decided to make somebody pay like petty people do. But that's what Swalwell reminds me of, totally. So the field's going to winnow down over the next few months. You know, it's coming up. You know, we still got a year and a half for the election. And here's the thing. This is what I believe is happening on the Democrat side. Somebody figured out I can't remember who it was. Somebody was running for the Virginia legislature. And, it was Andy McCabe's wife. Yeah. Andy McCabe's wife. Andrew McCabe, deputy director of the FBI, fired, disgraced because he lied to Congress. He leaked and lied about the leaks that he leaked and leaked of the leaks that he leaked and then blamed other people for it and wore them out knowing that they didn't do it. His wife was running. She doesn't go by the name McCabe. I think it's some kind of an embarrassment thing. But anyway, at the end of the campaign, there was like close to $700,000 in the campaign war chest. That money doesn't get that money isn't given back. That money is not cheerfully refunded with an apology saying, sorry, I lost the presidency. Here's your $200 back. And then your name's crossed off the list where, you know, it doesn't work that way. These guys keep that money. It winds up in these campaign war chests. And from there, through some undoubtedly circuitous route, it winds up in their pockets. And I think a lot of these people, Swalwell and old gay Pete and some of those guys, you know, they would love to be president. They would. And they're seriously examined. But the realism of the issue is this. They suck. They're clowns. They're not going to. It's going to come down to maybe Biden, maybe Warren. Old gay Pete's got a lot of Obama about him. Have you noticed how he says a lot of nonsense and stupid things, but he says them in a pretty calm and reasonable voice, and that makes the those with lesser intellectual prowess, you know, stroke their chin with their thumb and forefinger and go, yes, yes, I think he's right. I can see that, because that's just how these, that's just how these clowns are. It's part of the game, and it's how they sell them. So here in about 40 minutes, the president's going to come on. Here's what's going to happen. These people are going to lose their minds. I'm not kidding. It's like the Rolling Stones have come in town. These people, and you know what? Here's the thing. It's gotten to the point where people are afraid. They're fearful. You know, in some places in this country, if you decide to wear a Make America Great hat or a Trump 2020 t-shirt or anything like that, or a Trump sticker on your car or something, you run a very real risk of putting yourself in physical danger. Look at what happened during the campaign. Look what happened during the election. These Antifa types, these Occupy Wall Street clowns, all these fools. Guys are putting combination locks into the bottom of a couple of tube socks and swinging them like blackjacks. And they're not hitting young, healthy males. They're hitting old people. They're hitting senior citizens. They're throwing pee and poo like their brothers and sisters in the primate houses across this country. So when one of these things happens, one of these rallies happens, and this is, like I said, this is the big one. This is the big one because all these guys can congregate without fear, of being cussed, without fear of having crap thrown on them, without fear of being beat up or knocked down and kicked. Okay? They can move amongst one another. They can speak their minds. So it's only natural that these guys gather together. To me, it is an impressive, a remarkably impressive show of force. The Democrats can't do this. The last time anything like this happened was, I guess, in his first election, or his first campaign, where Barack Obama was giving the speech there at Mile High Stadium, and they had those gigantic Greek columns back behind him, and the people were going crazy, and at the end of the speech, those two columns, you know, ejaculated confetti and basically hosed the Democrats, which is what he did with the rest of the country for the next 8 years, a son of a... So all these people that have been suppressed, and you can't call it anything else but suppressed. Why? Because they have a contrary political belief to those who think they have the majority, who believe themselves to be the consensus of conventional thinking. But they're not. They're just nuts. So the MAGA hat people and the Trump 2020 cats and everybody that loves this president and is approving and embracing the direction that the country is taking and the way that this president is leading this country, they can be of one mind. They can commune together. And it's only natural. So it doesn't surprise me that everywhere the dude goes, it's like this. And it has been like this. This momentum, think about it, has carried on. I mean, it was there in the very beginning, but it has built, and it has cascaded, and it's snowballed, and it's become monstrous. This momentum has been going on since this guy declared back in 2015 that he wanted to run for president and that he was going to. Every rally across the country, you see it. And the Democrats, And Hillary Clinton was good at this until they exposed her trick photography. Tight shot on the candidate giving a speech. The background's shoulder to shoulder with rubes. And you can see about two or three rows of heads in the foreground of the camera shot. And you would think the place was swelled to the rafters. But, you know, in reality, the place that holds 14,000 people had 600, had 350. I'm telling you, this is just going to continue. And we're going to see the same thing. And like I said, I think it's probably going to wind up to be Biden because he's the establishment guy. And that's, you know, that's or Warren conceivably. But it's early days. And in that horse race over there, you've got 20 people. And about 16 of them basically look at this as a get-rich-quick scheme. All those donations, all that money doesn't go back to those who donated. And I bet some of them really wish it would, but it doesn't. Where does it go? Well, after his last campaign, Bernie Sanders now owns three houses, one of them a lakefront property in Vermont. His DACA. I think that's what they used to call them, the old Soviet Union. The commissars and the guys in the party that were really connected. Yeah, they had their fancy apartments in town. Well, they also had a DACA out on the river somewhere, lakeside, and that's what's going on here. So tonight, like I said, as soon as you guys get done with this show, you need to go online, check out Breitbart. They're probably going to be covering it live. Fox News will be covering it, I'm sure. There'll be lots of places out there where you can check out the president and what he's doing. Look at those crowds. Look at the enthusiasm. And I think we're down to the bottom of the hour, so take a little break here. Find something to play in our... I gotta clean this thing out. We have this like bank, a little bank for clips and stuff where you can play all the, you know, all my clips, all the music, all the stuff. And it's just so filled with junk. I gotta, and I don't know how to clean it out. I'm gonna have to figure that out. We will be back with more of Conservatives Perspective right after this rock and roll binge, man.
Not just stepping stone. Not just stepping stone. fire. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now. I was just a boy when I threw away my toy. I found a new pastime to dwell on. Whenever I detect members of the other sex, I play the game I do so well. Oh, I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Watching girls go by. My, my, my. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. Here comes one now.
Attention AMR shoppers, the store will be closing in 15 minutes. Please get your purchases and move to the front aisle. Thank you. The store will be closing in 15. I don't know how that happened. That was supposed to be. that was music to watch girls by, but that was supposed to have been grazing in the grass, but didn't work out that way. Gary Benford, my friend here from Facebook, visionary behind the Nation Savers 2018, which should be 2019 by now. Friend of the program. We're going to have him back on soon to talk with. He always enjoys the musical interludes that we do here on the program because we're from about the same demographic. And so a lot of the stuff that I play registers with him because he's been around as long as I have and he knows it. And he's a pretty hip cat. We appreciate him. Thanks, Gary, for listening, buddy. We love you. Sarah Sanders leaving the White House, and I'm saddened by this, but I understand that they probably got more out of Sarah Sanders as a press secretary than they do a lot of these cats that they consider to be like really tough guys, you know, tough, uncompromising guys. Jay Carney was one. Who was the guy that was before him? Bob Gates, Robert Gates for Barack Obama, Ari Fleischer. Sarah's hung in there for almost 3 years. She was there at the beginning. And she's decided she's going to go back home to Arkansas. And I'm going to miss you, Sarah. I'm going to miss you tremendously. And I saw a meme the other day with characteristic Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She standing at the podium, looking out over the press corps, and says, okay, is there anybody who wants their ass handed to them one more time before I leave? I just think the chick's a class act, and I will say this to anybody in the media who's ever said anything bad about her, you suck, USOBs, you suck. And I would say it to your face, and for 2 cents, I would give you a poke in the eye to emphasize the point. It was just disgusting how they treated this woman, and I think that she was nothing but class personified, the way she rose up above it and then turned around and made them all look like chumps. And not only that, she made them look like chumps with ease. They were tongue-tied. They were full of consternation. They were frustrated. They couldn't see straight. And that's why they hated her. She didn't care who they were. They weren't important. Those people do number one and number two and let poots just like the rest of us. They put their pants on one leg at a time just like everybody else. She knew that and was not intimidated by it. And never once did she let them beat her down. Never once did they get the better of her. And every single time that they tried, they walked away, you know, holding their butt cheeks in their hands. Godspeed, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Run for governor, honey. Run for governor in Arkansas. I go set up a post office box here. I'd vote for you. You're awesome. Well, let's see what. We haven't talked about China yet, but I guess the positive things coming out of China. A lot of people aren't aware of it because everybody's talking about the fact that Trump is finished. He's done. He's colluded. He's going to get impeached. And, you know, right now there's probably 80,000 people in Orlando, Florida, screaming out his name like he was Elvis or something. But what's gone on? As you know, North Korea has been a perennial bad actor since the end of the Second World War. With the communist takeover of North Korea, we've seen a lot of tension in that region, and we know that North Korea is basically a proxy of the Red Chinese, and there was a lot of nuclear testing going on, and Barack Obama's feckless foreign policy, and the same thing with Bush. These guys, they were either reluctant or they were just really at a loss as to how to handle Kim Jong-un. but apparently not Donald Trump. And this tariff war, they call it a war, but what he's trying, it's not really a war. It's Donald Trump defending American economic interests and no longer allowing other nations, particularly Red China. I wonder if anybody ever calls it that anymore, Red China. And so they used to call it, the Iron Curtain was, that was code for Russia and the Warsaw Pact states and Red China. Well, we're going to get North Korea to play ball. Well, how are we going to do it? Well, we're going to talk to the Chinese. What? Yeah, we're going to talk to the Chinese. But should we talk to the Koreans? We've talked to the Koreans. Koreans are okay. But they don't take us serious. So what we're going to do is we're going to quit talking to them. They're going to think, okay, we can go back to testing. We can do whatever we want. We're going to go talk to the Chinese because the Chinese run North Korea. They don't tell that guy. Sure, they do. He's got nuclear weapons. He doesn't listen to them that much. He'll listen, especially if we put the economic screws to China, as we have been doing. And it's not over with. The president's also talking about the Chinese and currency manipulation that they've been guilty of over the last couple of decades. They're being hurt. They're being hurt economically by the sanctions, the tariffs, rather. And a year into this, the tariffs have not hurt the American consumer. Now, these tariffs, man, it's going to make everything more expensive. It's going to hit Americans in the pocketbook. No, well, it hasn't. And this week, President Xi Jinping is going to be meeting with Kim Jong-un for a couple days there in Pyongyang, I guess. Anyway, that's where he's going to be. And he's going to be talking. And what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about Xi Jinping saying to Kimbo, you got to knock it off. This guy Trump's killing us. Okay, and he's not asking for too much, and you're starting to get on our nerves anyway, so let's ease up on the testing, or we're going to do something about it. Monkey's off our back. I have said this before, and I'll say it again. When it comes... And I really don't even – and I still don't know how to articulate it properly. I've said it a million times. I think that based on his background, the education that his father gave him, his own personal experience, have led Donald Trump to be one of the most effective – intuitive psychologists / negotiators that in the last 100 years. And maybe for the next 50 or 60, he intuitively understands, number one, what makes his counterpart tick, what motivates them. And he also understands how to take those motivations and exploit them to his own advantage, to the country's advantage. I don't know how else you can say it, because every time he's entered into negotiations or he's announced that there's going to be a deal on such and such, the mainstream media goes, what are you kidding me? This is never going to happen. He's going to bring us into war with North Korea. That's what he's going to do. This idiot's flying too close to the sun, man. And then the nuclear tests stop. The leaders meet. North and South Korea. A little outreach made there at the DMZ. Guys are talking, and that's good. That's good. A reunion of the peninsula? I don't know. It's possible. That's a good question for Mark Williamson. We need to bring him back in again, too, and talk about some of these things. Speaking of Mark, last Tuesday, a week ago, we did a show about some of the horrible things that are taking place in South Africa amongst the farming community there. And it's terrible. It's violent. It's torture. It's terrorism. it's a horrible, horrible situation. The crime rate, as our friend Mark was telling us last week, is not that great overall. There are a lot of bad things happening to a lot of people, but it's clear that there's some kind of an agenda, there's some kind of program being carried out against the farmers in South Africa. And we're gonna keep attention on that, because a lot of people don't know about it. I really didn't know a whole lot about it until I talked with Mark last week and did a little research on my own in the days before he came on the show. And it's horrifying stuff, and I would encourage you to make yourselves aware of it. The bear story. Not a particularly happy ending, but it's still a pretty cool story. We were, most of you know, I'm in the Civil War reenacting business. This is my hobby. And this last weekend, members of our battery, Brian's battery, and another reenactment group were at Droop Mountain State Park, Civil War battlefield here in West Virginia. And we were there twofold purpose. Some of us were there to cut down wood for the event that we have coming up in October. I think it's October. In Pocahontas County, West Virginia, October can be cold. It's even snowed. It's the kind of weather where bears will get in the sleeping bag with you. So we wanted to make sure we had firewood for the reenactors. And speaking of bears, on a sad note, there was a bear cub. Got loose in the picnic area. Wasn't loose, but he wandered into the picnic area where we were having lunch at that time. And the experience itself was you know, memorable and exciting. This little guy was, he was underweight. Pretty hungry. Don't know where the mom was, if there even was a mom. She wasn't around. Totally unafraid of people at all. Totally unafraid. Some of the pig. And in that part of the country, folks carry whistles. And the thinking is, you know, you have a bear encounter. And in Pocahontas County, it's pretty easy to have a bear encounter. There's lots of them up there. You blow the whistle. They don't like the loud noise. It runs them off. Well, this guy was not intimidated by any of that. And, you know, old ladies were screaming and jumping up on picnic tables. And there was a grill. There was a grill, a little small tabletop grill on the ground. And bear went over and grabbed the hot dogs right off of it, started eating them. And then, of course, they took – and this is – you know, they went and got a cage. They got a cage, and they were able to put this little guy in the cage. And, you know, the more that bear was hanging around, the more agitated I got, because all those people, they were just milling around. And acting like it was tame. It's a bear. And I think that he was traumatized, and it didn't end up well for him. The bear, he's probably dead by now. Because what happens is when they're like that, when they're not intimidated by people, they're not afraid of people at all, it's never good for the bear or the person or for people. And he was taken away by the Department of Natural Resources, and he was destroyed. But I remember thinking while he was in that cage, and he did not want to be in that cage, and he was trying to get out, and he was hollering, and all these people were standing around taking pictures of him, and it really irritated. It, matter of fact, it angered me, to be honest with you. It really bothered me, and it was all I could do to just keep from yelling at those people. Why don't you just get away from it? Move away from it. You're horrifying to see. But I didn't, and, you know, just, it was a memorable experience. He came up and licked me on the leg. I got some beautiful pictures of him. But at the same time, you know, it's tragic because he's dead. They had to take it out and kill it. And So, folks, don't feed the bears. Don't pick up the baby deers. I know you think you're Ellie Mae Clampett. You're a dumbass. Leave them alone. They're not for you to pet. I kind of got up in the moment of that. That bothered me a little bit. Anyway, well, now, oh, man, we just got a few minutes left. The president is, oh yeah, this is, nah, we're not going to talk about, we're going to go with this. Paul Manafort, this is something that's kind of interesting. I'm not exactly sure how relevant it is, but it is to a certain extent a tell. And he goes back to Paul Manafort. Now, Paul Manafort was a campaign manager for Donald Trump. And when this collusion thing came along, the mandate from Rod Rosenstein to Robert Mueller was go find stuff. I don't care what you got to do it. Go find stuff. Sweat people. Make them suffer. Break them. Go find it. Now, that's not what the mandate said. Okay, that's not how the mandate read, but that was what the mandate meant. And Paul Manafort was one of these guys. And and this is from our friend Sundance over at Conservative Treehouse, an interesting and moderately positive development in the ongoing fiasco surrounding the prosecution of Paul Manafort, according to the New York Times. Attorney General William Barr's top deputy, Jeffrey Rosen, sent a letter to New York State prosecutors saying that the Justice Department was monitoring the planned transfer of Mr. Manafort. And when the New York State prosecutors got this letter from the Department of Justice, their decision to transfer Paul Manafort to Rikers Island was reversed. Now, Rikers Island, folks, is a terrible place. Paul Manafort is a white-collar guy who's 70 years old and confined to a wheelchair because of his experiences with the Mueller crew. Now, why did the Mueller crew want to transfer him to Rikers Island? Because they wanted him to suffer. The decision to transfer Paul Manafort to Rikers Island was yet another transparent effort by political operatives within the justice system to use extreme measures against the political opposition. So, unfortunately, the Obama legacy via the weaponization of law enforcement continues. Guys like George Zimmerman, Officer Darren Wilson, the Baltimore Six, Paul Manafort, General Mike Flynn, Roger Stone, simply targets for political retaliation by career political operatives, political ideologues who are now embedded within this severely corrupt system. So, it could be that this decision to stop some of this extremism, and the example we give is taking a 70-year-old man in a wheelchair and putting him in on Thug Island, could be a small indication that Attorney General Barr is working to restore some semblance of justice to a thoroughly corrupt organization. They wanted him to suffer. They wanted this guy in Rikers Island. The prosecutors in this case, they know what kind of shape Paul Manafort's in. Paul Manafort was guilty of some tax stuff that happened years before he even was selected to work on a Trump campaign. They call them procedural crimes. Rarely are people arrested or punished for them unless it's in a situation like this where it's all they have and they decide to make it stick. Because they're thinking, okay, if we make him miserable enough, he'll make up something. Maybe he doesn't know anything. Maybe there isn't anything to know. But maybe we can get him to make up stuff, just like they did with Mike Cohen. Michael Cohen went in and testified before Congress and lied 7 different times. Look, those dudes did. And he was lying to save himself from going to jail. And the thinking was that was what they would do with Paul Manafort. So Paul Manafort won't be going to Rikers Island, mercifully. They're going to put him, where did they say? He'll be at a federal lockup in Manhattan or at the Pennsylvania federal prison where he's already at. So he's going to stay where he is, or they'll move him to Manhattan. And the conditions, you know, they won't be like on Rikers Island. And it's no other reason but to torture that guy. That's all it was. Not that he deserves mercy. Not that he deserves anything like that. Will the president pardon him? I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It's hard to say. The punishment does not fit the crime. The punishment exceeds the crime. But they're not really, they don't care about Paul Manafort and justice for Paul Manafort. What they care about was trying to tag the president and wear him down. Well, I'll tell you what, that's about all the time we got for today. I'm going to cut it loose a little bit early. We are heard here Tuesdays, Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, live, Blog Talk Radio. You can go to the Patriot Nation Radio Network, you can find us there, or just check out any of the links that we have liberally sprinkled all over the world of, we're out there, man. You know where we're at. And do me a favor, too, while you're thinking about it. Tell some of your friends. Spread the word. Maybe put it on a couple of pages that you go to as well. I usually have about an hour and a half of promotion before the show at any given time. And so I try to get as much done as I can. It's never really enough. And whatever you guys can do, I would appreciate it. Gary Benford, another one, out there spreading the good word or helping us with that. And we appreciate it tremendously. I guess that'll be that. So having said that, 90 seconds, Penelope says, I guess we're not cutting off too early. God bless you. God bless America. We will be back on Thursday live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, taking a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. We'll see you then.